1500 BC, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. He led them 600,000 men, not counting, you know, women, children, big number. He was the leader. He led them under God, under God's direction. He has the Spirit to lead them. But Moses got frustrated. You know, the people are complaining. The people want to go back to Egypt. The people, you know, we don't like this. You know, we keep having to eat this manna every day. The same diet, same thing every day, every morning manna, every lunch manna, every evening manna. Moses, we're fed up. We want to go back to Egypt. Moses is frustrated. Moses comes to God. God, I quit. I resign. I resign my job. I don't want to do this. God said, Moses, hold on. Hold on there, Moses. I'm going to give you some help. Call 70 elders from the people, from all those tribes. Get 70 people. Bring them to the tent. I'm going to do something. Here's the verse, right? Okay, then, sorry, I've got one quote before we get there. I've got a quotation. Why we're going to Numbers. You got that quote? I think so. Okay, here you go. From a Professor Roger D. Cotton says this. Numbers 11, that's what we're covering, describes a very significant interconnectedness of the Spirit of God and leadership. The empowering of the 70 elders, accompanied by a prophetic experience, foreshadowed the Acts 2 Pentecost event. Okay, so you got to connect Numbers 11 eventually with Pentecost. That's what we're doing. How does it connect? All right, this is the way it connects. Here's the verses. Okay, Numbers chapter 11. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and Moses gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. He gathered them to the tabernacle. 70. They're going to help him. They're going to help lighten his load. They're going to help him lead these big number of people, Israel, in the wilderness. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, to Moses. And the Lord took some of the spirit that was on him, Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. God took some of the spirit that was upon Moses. Moses was the leader, the God-appointed leader. The spirit is on him. God took some of the Holy Spirit, which was on Moses, and put it on those other 70, right, leaders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, they spoke, they praised God, but they did not continue doing it, right? It wasn't continuous. They prophesied then. Now, interesting incident. Now, two men, he called 70, some were late. They didn't show up on time. Be careful. If you don't show up on time, something, you may make a spectacle of yourself. Okay, all right. So now two men remained in the camp, Eldad and Medad, that's the names, and the Spirit rested on them. See, God put the Spirit on the 70 who showed up. Two are still in the camp. The Spirit rested on them. They're among those registered, but they had not gone out of the tent to the tabernacle, so they prophesied in the camp. They're in the camp, they're prophesying. The people, what's going on? What are these two people doing? And the young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Moses. Ah! And Joshua, assistant of Moses from his youth, Joshua, eventually Joshua's going to succeed Moses. Joshua said to Moses, my Lord Moses, stop them. We got to stop this. Stop those two. But Moses said to Joshua, Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? You worried about me? My position? Here's the important point. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. See, Joshua had his thought. Moses, you got to stop this. No, stop them. right? Stop it. Moses has another thought, desire. He said, no. I wish, I desire that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them, all of them. Everyone a prophet, spirit on every one of God's people. And Moses and the elders returned to the camp. Okay, what do you see from this? You see the matter. This is one of the clearest incidents shows you. What was the situation in the Old Testament with God's people and the Spirit? Was the Spirit with them? Was God with them? Yes, it was. Was the Spirit on them? Did they have the Spirit? Yes and no. Yes and no. Some of God's people had the Spirit. Some did not. A few had the Spirit. Many did not. The minority had the Spirit. Majority did not. There were the haves and the have-nots. The leaders had the Spirit. The laity, the common people, did not. Right? It's clear. Initially, the one who had the Spirit was Moses. He was the leader. He had the Spirit. The others, no. Then with this incident, it was enlarged somewhat. God took the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it on the 70 also. Right? Now you got 71 who have the Spirit. Right? God put the Spirit on them. So these leaders had the Spirit on them. The others did not. However, Moses' desire is, he realized and reflects God's desire, the Spirit is not for the few, not just for the leaders, it's for the many. It's not just for minority, it's for majority. It's not just for leaders, it's for everybody. God wants to give everybody, all of God's people, the Spirit. Amen? Is that clear? Is that good? You know, but what's my point? In the Old Testament, there's a limitation, a big limitation. So, you know, sometimes you want to go back there. Don't do that. Don't go back to Moses. Don't, you know, when he's the leader, he has the Spirit. Joshua has the Spirit. You know, Elijah have the Spirit. Samuel has the Spirit. Yes, David has the Spirit. Leaders have the Spirit. That doesn't mean everybody has the Spirit. In the Old Testament. So having the Spirit in the Old Testament is not the defining characteristic of God's people in the Old Testament. You can be an Israelite, be one of God's people. You don't have the Spirit. They have the Spirit. I'm still God's people. There's a limitation. Let me illustrate it this way. Because the Spirit, a number of places, the Spirit is compared to water, rain, pour out the Spirit. Let's have an illustration. I need some help. Don't worry, you won't get wet. If you do it right. All right. Okay. So, yeah, stand up there. Okay, you got this. This, what is this? Funnel, thank you. We're all clear. Okay, now you got to hold it over there. Otherwise, we'll both get wet. The limitation is not with God. It's not on God's side. It's not the Spirit. Holy Spirit is not limited. That's not the limitation. But there is a limitation. What's the limitation? The Spirit can, it goes through the few. The leaders have the Spirit. Moses has the Spirit. The others don't. Even the 70 plus Moses have the Spirit. That's the limitation. So, you ready? When the Spirit... There's no. Why don't you hold it up? Let's be daring, yeah. You know, then everybody can see. Can you see that? You see what's going to happen? Oh, yeah. Is that going to go in or not?
I hope so.
Okay, you're going to get it right. Whoa! The see there's oh yeah. See? Oh, now we got it. But the, oh yeah, Dell's a little bit worried. All right. Not yet. He's okay. Okay. See the limitation? The limitation is not with the Spirit, with the... Sorry. I should have made a better spout, right? Okay. Thank you. You did a good job. The limitation is not the Spirit. The limitation is who... Only the few have the Spirit. The leaders have the Spirit. Most people don't. So that's the limitation in the Old Testament. Okay. Now, Moses' desire is everyone. I wish, says Moses, that every God could put his spirit on everyone, that all could prophesy. We would not have that limitation. No, let's break the limitation. It's the bottleneck. There's a bottleneck, right? That's our title. The Spirit breaks the bottleneck. What's the bottleneck in the Old Testament? Moses has the Spirit, the people don't. The 70 have the Spirit, the people don't. Minority have the Spirit, majority don't. The leaders have the Spirit, the laity don't. That's the limitation, okay? That's the Old Testament. But in Joel, going forward, what's the point about Joel? What's new revelation in Joel is this, okay? Joel chapter 2:28. God is not just going to restore them after the locusts, after the drought. It's not just give them crops, food. It says right after that, Joel, here you go, the promise. The promise of the Spirit to all. It's a promise for the future. It didn't happen then, but it's promised by Joel, 500 BC. And it shall come to pass, says Joel, afterward, after, later, it will come to pass that I, God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Not some, not the few. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Amen. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Sons will prophesy. Daughters will prophesy. Both shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Irrespective of gender, sons and daughters, irrespective of age, old and young. Right? The old will dream dreams, the young will see visions. It's not that different, right? Even on the male and female servants, it's not just the high class. It's not just the leaders. It's not just the high socioeconomic status, upper class. No, even on the male and female servants, slaves, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Regardless of gender, male or female, regardless of age, old or young, regardless of your status, class, whatever, God will pour out his Spirit. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On God's side, he pours out the Spirit. On our side, if you haven't done it yet, you call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I take you. I believe you. Amen. You get the Spirit. Amen. All right. It's good. I will pour out my Spirit, right, on all flesh. All right. Amen. So it's no longer limited to a select group. Right? It's no longer the haves among God's people. It's no longer some have, most do not. It's no longer the leaders have, the laity do not. This group has, minority has, majority does not. No, that is over. Everybody has the Spirit among God's people. Now, when this is fulfilled, the Spirit is the common possession of all God's people. Amen? That's the promise, right? And it goes along, you know, you can pull in other verses along this line. God says, I'll make a new covenant, right? And I'll write my laws in your hearts and all will know me. All will know me. Not just some, not just a few. All will know me from the least to the greatest. It goes along with this. There are not levels, classes among God's people. Everyone has the Spirit. Everybody can know him. I put my Spirit in them. Right? Amen? Okay. That's the background, 500 BC. It didn't happen at Joel's time. It didn't happen, you know, 500 BC, 400, 300, 200, 100. Jesus came. Jesus died, was crucified. Jesus resurrected, right? resurrected from the dead. That was what we call Easter, Passover. Then they waited 50 days. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem till you are clothed with power from on high. And the 120 waited in the upper room until, and then prayed. Then the day of Pentecost came. Let me just read the verses to you. This is Acts chapter 2 gives us this account. This is now the fulfillment. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they, the 120, Peter, James, John, the 12, plus the women, plus Jesus' family, plus, a lot of people, we don't know their names, 120. They were all together in one place, the upper room. Suddenly from heaven, there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. There's the sound of the wind. Divided tongues as of fire. It looked like fire separating, right? Appeared to them, rested in each one of them. And they were all, not just some, not just the 12. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And they came together, they heard the sound, came together. They're hearing them speak in their own language. They were speaking definite language, recognizable language of the people around, right? And it tells you where they're from, right? From here, there, a lot of places. We hear them, their response, we hear them. Why? We're hearing them tell in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Amen? That was the result. Okay, we have a little video to reenact this. We'll show it to you. Sometimes it's good.
It's 50 days since Passover, the day Jesus was crucified. Now thousands of Jewish pilgrims come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost.
Any sign of Jesus' followers?
No. I assume they've all gone back to Galilee.
Do you? Just make sure your men are ready. If they return, you have to deal with them. I cannot call upon the Romans again.
Glad you're here, brother. This way. We must be careful, though. They're watching us.
John, I'm glad you're all safe. It's good to see you again, Stephen. Matthew.
What form will it take? When will it come? Jesus said all we had to do is ask. I have been asking. Every day.
The Holy Spirit will come when the time is right. I think we should pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Oh! crucifixum resurrectum quidem vidi post deo
sulipa wa calma min al maut yamashal yahud wa kula sakir al quds
ashra ram shika wa yesh
את המופתים, בשמיים ובארץ, התת. את המופתים, בשמיים ובארץ, התת.
How can we speak those languages?
The Holy Spirit. He is with us.
All right. Amen? Right? I think... Anyway, let me not come in. I'll, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, so a movie's worth more. Okay. You can check that out yourself. The point is what? The Spirit came... Right, came upon them. They experienced the Holy Spirit, and they spoke. Right, obviously they spoke other languages. Maybe you understood some of you what they were speaking. I think they were okay. You know, Peter. Then okay, because from there the people gathered. Notice the people are not going away from the temple. They're not following Caiaphas. They're coming towards Peter and the 120, they want to know what's going on. Peter stands up and says, tells them, what you are observing, what you're witnessing today, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Right? So his first point is, you know, this, you should recognize this. Why? What's happening before your eyes today? The Spirit has come upon these people, and this, why are they responding the way they are? Answer, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. Okay? Then you can ask, why does Peter refer to Joel? He could refer to Isaiah, he could refer to Ezekiel, he could refer to other places. That's true. Why does Peter refer to Joel? You can say, well, God showed him. Yes, he did. Why did God show him Joel? Same question. Why Joel? And the answer, I believe, is this. What Peter, you know, in the movie, they only show you a few people. That's the way the movie works. You see Peter, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, John, a few others. Okay, actually, you read the account. In that room, there are 120, and the Spirit came upon all 120. It didn't just come on the 12 apostles. It came on the 120. It came on the men. It came on the women. It came on the 12. It came on the others. It came on the old. It came on the young. Everybody got the Spirit. Amen? That, you know, Peter is, you know, and they're not even recognized leaders in Israel, right? They're not priests, appoint professional priests. They're not leaders. They're not elders with the Sanhedrin. They are Galileans, right? So they're not the recognized leaders, but the Spirit came upon them. Based on that, Peter says, what you're seeing today is what the prophet Joel prophesied. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All of God's people get the Spirit. Amen? That's the big difference. In the old, it's not all. In the new, it is all. In the Old Testament, it's minority. In the New Testament, it's not only majority. Everybody has the Spirit. Amen? The Spirit is poured out on all. Men, women, old, young, high, low, whatever. Amen? So in the New Testament, the defining aspect of being God's people is you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right?
Yes.
If you're a Christian, you should have the Spirit.
Amen.
If you don't have the Spirit, you're not there yet. You get it? You know, it's not an optional extra. It's not like getting air conditioning in your car. Having the Holy Spirit defines the Christian. Amen? If you have the Spirit, you're a Christian. If you have the Spirit, you are a child of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you belong to Him. So let me ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Have you received the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
If you can say yes, and then you should be definite. It's not, you know, I'm not sure, maybe. Maybe doesn't work. No, you ask the question, have I received the Spirit? And you should have a definite answer. Yes, I have received the Holy Spirit. That's the New Testament. So, brothers and sisters, friends, amen. You know, you may come here every week. That doesn't make you a child of God. That doesn't make you a Christian. You may memorize the Ten Commandments. That doesn't make you a Christian. You may recite the Lord's Prayer. That doesn't make you a Christian. You may know all the books of the Bible. That doesn't make you a Christian. You may agree with them all. What defines you as a Christian, makes you a Christian, is you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? So do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
That is God's gift. That is God's gift. All right? Peter at the end says, okay, so what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to believe. Right? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit. God has done everything. God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He's died for your sins, resurrected from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, and He's received the gift of the Holy Spirit from God the Father, and He's poured out. He's poured out the Holy Spirit for you and I to receive. It's there. It's available. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go and find God. The Spirit is poured out on all flesh for you to receive, for you to accept. That makes you a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so if you haven't, you got to do it. Amen. Right? This is new. I'm afraid some people are here. They think, you know, if I come here often enough, somehow osmosis, you know, I may, you know, something will happen. Well, that's something that should happen is you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's not just information. You know, you may come here and say, I need to learn more. I want to know more. I want to know what the Bible says. You know, oh, okay, we've done Joel. What's next? Malachi. What's after Malachi? In the Bible, it's Matthew. What's after Matthew? Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I need to learn more. Yes, you do. But that alone will not make you a Christian. Amen. What makes you a child of God is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So Paul asks in Galatians, did you receive the Spirit? That's what he asks. Did you receive the Spirit? Amen. Okay, so if you haven't, if you're not sure, come and see us. You want to be sure, come and see us after this meeting. Don't be shy. If you're too shy to approach me, approach somebody else. You know, you want to see my wife, she's much more approachable. I know I'm scary. So. Okay, or somebody else. Ask. We want to make sure, make sure you've received the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, you can hang out with Christians. That doesn't make you one. Doesn't make you a child of God. You can hang out in water. That doesn't make you a fish. You can hang out in a tree. That doesn't make you a bird. And you can hang out with Christians, but that doesn't make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. You got it? See, now there's no limitation. I need my friend. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll tell you what. I won't get you wet. You know, there's no, yeah, let's, okay, let's have some help. Okay, come on, come on. You didn't get wet, right? No, okay. Not yet. Okay. All right. See? All right. See, before you had the limitation, right? Old Testament. Okay, you got to lift that up so people can see. Before you had the limitation, a few have the Spirit. Okay, now that limitation is gone. That limitation is gone. It's now not just the leaders, not just the few, it's the many. We all get the Spirit. Woo! Amen. Are we okay, Del? Don't worry. Oh, thank you. Right? Anyone wants to be baptized? We can do that too. All right. See? Now the Spirit is available. The Spirit is available to all. Amen?
Amen.
Is there something to be happy about? Yes. Woo! You know, I was singing all week. Rain down. Don't you hear the people singing? Rain down. Rain it down on us. Rain down. That's rain down the Spirit. Rain down the Spirit. Rain down. Times are hard, but I'm still singing. Rain down. Rain it down on us. Amen.
Amen.
Right? The Spirit wants to come as the rain. Amen. As the water. It wants to come on you. Come on me. Okay. Lastly, it's not just for us individually. This is available for the church. For the church. Everybody has the Spirit. Right? If you're a Christian, you got the Spirit. If you're a believer, you got the Spirit. Amen? All right. Everybody has the Spirit. We're not back with Moses. The leaders have the Spirit, the others don't. No. We're New Testament. Every believer has the Spirit. Now, I believe that is why, God loves this church. And the Lord led us recently, we had an opportunity. I don't have time to describe the process. I believe the Lord led us to get in touch with one brother to help us. That was this brother. Our brother Peter Reed was with us a number of weeks ago. And though I know it was short notice, we gathered those who we could. We had a visioning weekend. Those of you here. We gathered together here. Those who are available somewhere out of town, we understand. Otherwise engaged, we gathered together and we got together and we came up with Vision 2020. 2020 is the right vision. Yeah. Right? That's what we want. Okay, Vision 2020. What is that? We came together and we've never done this before in this church. We came together and the brother helped us. Okay, how do you feel? What do you feel the Lord wants for this church? That was the question posed. How do you feel? Think about 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What do you feel the Lord wants this church to be like? Think about it. What should characterize this church 5 years from now, 10 years from now? We asked the members. Okay, actually, the elders were asked to hold themselves back, restrain themselves, and the others were encouraged to, offer their feelings. And we came by groups, 8 groups of 10 or 12, came up with lists. We came together, and then 8 groups became 4 groups, and we compared lists, and we revised, and the 4 groups became 2 groups, and we... it was an iterative process. What were we doing? The feeling was all the members have the Spirit. The leadership doesn't have to be top down. We don't have Moses. All the members have the Spirit. What is your feeling for how the Lord wants this church to be? And, maybe I have my personal view, preference, gripe, criticism, whatever. But in this process that, I have my complaint, or my particular preference, but in this process, you know, that kind of got washed away, and we're left with the kind of feeling among us, right? And I believe that was very much of the Lord, right? That's why I share it. What are we doing? We're saying this, you know, New Testament leadership does not have to be top down. It's not Moses and the 70 elders. That has to be top down. New Testament does not have to be top down. You have to ask, how can the Lord lead this church? Answer, the Spirit can lead through the members. It's called democracy. You say, what? We're in a democracy. Canada, yeah, I know. Canada's a democracy. We're not asking you to vote. Scholars talk about the democracy of the Spirit. Democracy of the Spirit. What does that mean? You read it in the material. It means what? In the New Testament, everyone has the Spirit. In that sense, if all have the Spirit, right, your feeling can accord with the Spirit, and it came out. Okay, so we went through that process. Let me show you, and a couple of weeks from now, we'll have to spend more time on this. Let me give a few examples. And then we had a team come up, you know, with all these points, try to improve them, express them in sentences, you know, that make sense. Some of us not used to that, including me. So, right? Okay, so here's a couple of examples. You know, here's vision, a couple of items on Vision 2020. This is the combined feeling of that group, and we're going to go forward. You know, if you haven't had much chance to contribute, you will, you can. It's not over, it's just begun. Okay, this is the feeling. Say things like this. By 2020, we feel the church in Toronto, this congregation, will. This is what we want it to be 5 years from now. It will be gospel-centered. Number one, it will be gospel-centered. We will spread the gospel, embrace both non-Christians and Christians without a church home, resulting in weekly salvations and frequent additions of new members. Is that good? Yes. It's good. Does the Lord want that? Yes. Yes. Do we want that? Yes. Yes. We want to be gospel-centered, right? Is that good? That's how we want the church to be. Gospel is the center. Gospel is important. Gospel emphasis. Number two, we want to have a deep understanding of the Bible, which guides our living, fostering through preaching, reading, studying. Bible. Amen. Is the Bible good? Do we want to know the Bible more? Yes. Do we want it to guide our life? Yes. Amen. Okay. Number three, we want to value and practice constant prayer. So number one, gospel. Number two, Bible. Number three, prayer, individually, collectively. Amen. Right? We want to have more prayer, right, among us. You know, do you need help praying? Do you need help praying? You know, most Christians, if you ask them, most Christians, big majority, if you ask them, do you want to pray more? Do you want to pray, you know, you need help in your prayer? Most Christians will say, yes, yes. I think we're like that. So, okay, can we help one another? Can we go forward in this matter of prayer? Okay, here's some examples of what came up. You know, this is what, you know, this church, the feeling of this church going forward, what we want to be, you know, it's one way the Spirit can lead, and we feel is leading the church here. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. So the Spirit is available here. The Spirit can guide you and me individually, and the Spirit can guide us collectively. That's church and leaders. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. You've promised to pour out the Spirit, and you have. Thank you, the Spirit is available. Lord, we pray this week we'd all have a deeper experience of the Spirit. We'd know, Lord, the Spirit could move in our lives individually and collectively. We would know you more, express you more, personally and corporately. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to finish there. You got the brochure. You know, the inside and out are printed opposite ways. Just turn it over. You'll be okay. All right, we're done, and we're back next week.